Welcome to the Diligent Endeavors podcast, where we interview people from all walks of life striving for success. We share highlights, interviews, and stories of others to spread inspiration, valuable insights, and content. Remember to put yourself in danger of success.
And welcome to another episode of the Diligent Endeavors podcast. And today we have the lovely Heidi, and it's actually her second appearance on the Diligent Endeavors podcast. Hopefully it'll go a little bit more smoothly than when you did it with Phil. Yeah, with the children, the chickens, the dogs, everything else that was going on in that episode. I think there were some crazy hats as well, weren't there?
Oh yeah, I brought my Mexican hat. But yeah, thank you for having me on again. No one's called me lovely, so I'll take that. And I've got the top here, so things can still go wrong.
Yes, as always. So how's life been since you were last on?
I think it was
like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was on quite early on in the journey, and although I'd smashed it, I was very, very overwhelmed, very new, very anxious, and just losing the will to live most days. So since I've last been on, I'm still going crazy and doing a lot of crazy stuff, but I've managed to sort of calm it down a little bit, put some good processes in place. I've expanded and just really been focusing on a bit of balance, to be fair. So yeah, been really busy, but this time prioritising the right things and not the wrong things.
So how hard is it then prioritising around being a full-time working mum and property and mentoring? How do you balance it?
Do you know, I forget I do a lot of that stuff. So I'll just give, so if anyone doesn't know me, so I'm based near Hull or Lincolnshire, depending on who I'm talking to. I'm still at this point working 4 days a week in a job as a contracts manager for a housing charity. So that alone, it's a big stressful job. I've got two young kids. I run a PPN property networking event. Thank you very much, because that's how we met, because I cried to you. I do my own coaching and mentoring program. I've got a podcast myself now, actually. I juggle quite a lot. And then the kids' stuff, they're like aspiring dancers, let's say that. And they do quite a lot of activities. So I spend a lot of time running around like a twat, basically. So balance, the first year of business, I burnt myself out massively. Not many people liked me because I couldn't do anything well. I did a lot of stuff like either half-assed, or I couldn't, you know, see my mates, or my husband hated me, that sort of thing. And then the second year of business, I was like, I don't enjoy this. Why am I doing it? So I've spent a lot of time listening to podcasts and balancing and creating little habits and stuff. So I've got a list of 20 habits I want to do daily. Little things like take my vitamin, that sort of thing. And I split it across friends, finance, family, well-being, and business. And I've basically split it down, and my theory is if I do them little 20 activities every day, I've got that balance. Don't nail it every day, don't get me wrong, some days are better than others, but I thought if I do some of it at certain times in the day, that's how I retain that balance. So that's how I started, really.
That sounds quite a good thing to do, to be fair. Like I forget a lot of stuff, like I let everybody else get stuff first. I always put myself last. Like I never used to give myself any time to do something that I enjoyed. So well, I think,
yeah, if you think about it, yeah, if you think about it as well, like there's loads of stuff I don't want to do on a daily basis, and then there's stuff I want to prioritize. So if I get up in the morning and read my book, like a little chapter of my book, that's a great day. If I manage to get to the gym, that's a great day. If I manage to take my vitamins, have a nice coffee, that's a great day. And I think what people, and I say this to even my mates as well, what you don't appreciate is if you sacrifice little tiny moments, what is contentment? What is happiness? And it's that little tiny moments on a daily basis. So I like literally wrote that and what makes me happy. And it's little stupid things like a decent coffee, eating nice food, just add beans on toast, like proper Norman. I have that most days. Kind of coke a day, reading, helping my kids read, a little bit of business. I don't want to burn out. Walking, that sort of thing. And if I do that every day, it's a great day. some days are shit, don't get me wrong. I think, oh, I've had enough. And some days drive me mad and tenants drive me mad and work drives me mad and the kids do. But I go, right, how can I get up and have a good day? But it, honestly, it's taken me a good year to figure it out. A lot of trial and error as well. And I don't do everything I should do every day either.
No, I don't think any of us do, do we? I've got all wonderful plans that I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to eat healthy and I'm going to do this, do that, do that. And then I'll get distracted. Or a tenant is a knob and loses their keys.
Oh, God. You know what? I had 3 cakes yesterday as well.
Did you?
Publicly as well. I went on a training day. And I was in York and I was like, I'm on holiday. I wasn't really. I was just in York, like an hour away. But I pretended I was on holiday and had 3 cakes. And I was like, what am I doing?
But what was it? Was that with Alex Sebakowski?
Sebakowski. So it was a good day, to be fair. I just went to network a little bit, but always learning. Got to learn, haven't you? Got to network as well. They're the main things. But no, with distractions as well. I've done it today. I was like, right, I've got this. I was late to your podcast. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I'm sure it was 1 o'clock. So I've got a couple of activities I have to do every day. And the way I like prioritize them as well is I call it the post-it note thing. So I get like a list of post-it notes and I write down everything out my head onto different colored post-it notes, stuff I can do, stuff I can do with my partner, like business stuff, stuff that's related to the kids, stuff that's related to health. And then I split them up and then I pick 3 off that list every day. So if I'm feeling like overwhelmed or whatever, I'll go, what do I need to do today? And then today I've prioritized like income generating tasks. I've got a couple of deals I'm negotiating on that I keep binning off. And I'm like, why are you binning this off to speak? Like, this tenant, honestly, is not moving in for 2 weeks. He's ringing me constantly. And I'm like, go away. I'll speak to you later. And he's like, can you ring me now? I'm like, fuck off. No. So yeah, you've got to, if you get distracted, fine, but there's tools you can do as well. Like turn your phone on silent, chuck it over there.
Yeah.
Or only answer it a couple of times a day, 3 or 4 times a day. That's a good day if I manage to do that. But I've got the business phone today and my personal phone, and I've got about 18 messages I haven't responded to.
Oh, God. Ugh. Like, Phil's phone's like that constantly. It drives me mad.
Awful.
I'm like,
Do you have notifications off on your phone?
I haven't, because luckily we've got a business phone and the personal phone, so all the tenant stuff goes to the business phone, and sometimes that's on silent.
The business phone's on silent for me. And like last night, I got back in about 7:30, 7:45, and Chris was like chilling out. And I looked at the work phone and went, and I couldn't be a dick because he'd put the kids to bed. But I was just like, it's 3 missed calls here and like an urgent message off someone, the Airbnb guest checking in. He just ignored it. And he was like, oh, fuck. It was all right. The internet passcode, which is in the description and on the internet box. And I was like, fucking hell. But yeah, it's if you turn off your notifications on your personal phone.
Yeah.
I've only really got them on messages, WhatsApp and Facebook. Anything else I have to then go into. Like, I don't go into LinkedIn. I don't go onto Instagram and that sort of thing unless like I need to. So that stops you getting distracted as well.
Yeah, I get really, really distracted by games on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
Phil feels like he's pissed off at me at the moment because I just get lost in my phone.
Oh. It's like,
delete the fucking app.
Just what fucking game do you play?
It's like a farming game.
Oh, my mate's got that. And I'll take the piss out of her. I'm like, do you feed chickens on it and stuff?
Yeah,
it's the same game. She's like, I'm dead busy, you know. I hope she don't listen to this. I'm dead busy, you know. I've got no time. Like, you fucking feed your fake chickens every day. You're all right with that. And you've got real chickens.
I know. Oh, I know. But it's muddy out there today. Don't want to go and feed them.
Fuck the real chickens. I'll feed the fake ones.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that is stupid, isn't it, really? But I do need to delete the app because it does, like, I just get lost in it.
Yeah, delete the app. Do it now, publicly.
Should I do it now?
Look at that. We've took an action. I feel all spiritual.
Ready? Remove app.
Yay! You'll get loads more deleted your fake chickens.
What am I going to do while I'm on the toilet?
Read the hand wash like we used to do back in the day.
Back in the day. What's the ingredients are in here today?
Read your shampoo bottle like we used to.
Or actually do some work.
Or do what? How long do you spend on the toilet? It's the question.
But not that long. Not as long as Phil.
Yeah, like, it's different, aren't they? It's a different disease, that.
Yeah, definitely. So with like all the property stuff, why property?
Oh, good question. I think it's, so I was always nosy as a kid. And I remember this memory as a kid where I said to my neighbour, can I have a look around your house? I must have been about six. And she was like, no. I don't know what I was doing wandering the streets at that age anyway. But
Were you then?
Yeah, well, yeah. And it, she wouldn't let me look in her house and I was mildly offended. But I wanted to look because this is ridiculous. I like the layout and the decor and that sort of thing. And I just didn't realise, but going back that young, I think I've always been interested. And then when I was at uni, I lived in a house share and I was like lead tenant. And I actually did a rent to rent on that property and I didn't realise. And they'd offered me a lease option and I made a fortune rent to rent in it while living in it. And then I bought my first house, which is now my serviced accommodation. So back then, I've always thought, I can make shitloads of money in property. And I've always been interested in it. And like my mum and dad were business people. And again, I didn't realise this link either, but I've never been like an entrepreneur. Do you know, like when you hear people on podcasts going, oh, I used to sell sweets to my mates. And I was like, I'll sugar and I'll sell boy at eight. And I'm like, oh, fuck off. I was never like that. I like to roll and I went to uni and I got a job like, you know, everyone tells you to do. So I've never been a true entrepreneur or whatever, but I've always just liked property and layouts and decor and making money off rooms.
And now you've got a shitload of tenants that cause you a load of hassle.
I specialise in naughty tenants though, really, don't I? So like it really.
Is that because of your day job that you decided to do naughty tenants or?
Yeah, it's weirdly my comfort zone and people think I'm ridiculous. So I've worked, again, people who don't know this, I've worked in the criminal justice sector for 14 years. So I've worked with prisoners, ex-prisoners, people on probation, used to deliver groups to sex offenders, mentored them. So I did mentoring at 19 with sex offenders, which when you think about it is fucking weird. just a very weird situation I was in. So, and I've always worked in that industry. And then I've worked my way up to working in prisons, doing housing advice, being a support worker, working in hostels and that sort of thing. And housing, I've lived with dickheads as well, which sounds awful. I used to live with an arsonist. So I've always, I know, mental, innit? I was an arsonist when he moved in, don't know. It was in a house share, seemed all right at the time. Didn't set fire to a house, good, but but yeah, so I've always like been in that industry sort of thing, and then property as well, and working for a housing charity, you know, people don't always have references, they don't always have guarantors, they don't always have a deposit, they don't always have like that good start in life. Because of my experience and passion for it, I've kind of gone, well, come and live in one of our houses and I'll help you. So I've always had that. Someone asked me yesterday, I always had that help in nature with ex-prisoners and probation. But obviously my tenants currently, I can't help my service users because it's a conflict. So I want to specialise in that eventually. It's really niche. But at the minute I'm helping like ex-homeless people, those with drug issues, but they've never been in the prison sector because again, it would be a conflict. So I've always wanted to, I just don't like seeing people on the street. So if I can give them that opportunity to move on and get that support no one else will give them, then
Have you had like a really nightmare tenant?
Oh, fucking, I've got them now. Yeah, I've had there was one time, Phil will remember this because I didn't cry, but I could have cried. I had such a bad week. It's my birthday week. My first year in property. So I'd just come up to my first year in property and I'd taken on a load of shitty HMOs. Shitty HMOs bring shitty tenants. And unless you've got a good process, and I took on too many at once. Yeah. So, sorry, I'm going to cough here. My bad, everybody, if you're listening. That's really annoying. But I took on four properties, one in Doncaster, three in Hull, and two were next to each other. And I had a whole host of just knobheads in the properties. One property, do you know the monster paedophile hunters?
Yeah.
Yeah. They actually outed to 40,000 people one of my tenants as a paedophile on that live on Facebook.
I think I remember Phil telling me about this.
Yeah. So that was one incident in one weekend. in a different house, they text me going, oh, have you seen, because there was mates, seen blah, blah on Paedophile Hunters. I went, no. And I was like, oh, fuck's sake. So he got arrested. And then she had an argument with another tenant in one house. And then in another house, we had a bloke sectioned, spewing up everywhere, trying to kill his wife. That was in one weekend. So, and I was actually away with my mates for like our birthdays, away a couple of hours away. And it was at that point in my business where my husband wasn't in the business, didn't want to be in the business, didn't understand the business. But because I was so burnt out, he said, I'll just look after the phone for you. But I was running most of it on my personal phone at the time. So in one weekend, I was like, I don't want to be away, but I want to be away. And I just was on and off the phone to the police all weekend and the mental health unit, where, because I was still very nice. I still found out which unit he was in, because again, I used to volunteer there. So I found out which unit he was in, sorted all the tenants out, safeguarded the lasses that were in the property, did all sorts of stuff. And I was like, what a fucking nightmare. Luckily, bless Phil, text me going, you all right, mate? And I was like, no. And I said, oh, I'll ring you when I'm back. He went, ring me now and I'll sort you out. And I was just like, ugh. So I'm very, very grateful to Phil for calming me down that weekend, because honestly, it was fucking horrific. But yeah, nightmare tenants. I've got, can't get any worse than the bloke who got sectioned, the one who was outed as a paedophile. And I've had people threatening to kill themselves and I've had to talk them out of it. I've had tenants who were in hundreds of pounds of rent arrears. I've had one smash a telly up in front of me. I've had drug addicts unconscious. But yeah, I've had it all, to be honest with you. But the ones that really annoy me is the one that's constantly ringing me because it's very needy. So yeah, I've pretty much.
It's like, I'm moving in next week. I need to know this, 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 and this.
Well, no. Oh God, yeah.
Maybe. Sent you a contract. Da, da, da. Now just leave me alone until I give you the keys.
The point where I'd rather have the void, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we've got a house at the moment where it's all girls or women, and they just can't get along. They can't clean up after themselves. Texting saying, "Can you get such and such to clean the bathroom?" Oh, fuck off!
Yeah. Oh, like, do you know what I've had this morning? I was going to read it out to you. I've had one tenant. This is the lad who's always unconscious. Because he's got a bad back, so have I, mate. He's got a bad back, can't work, and has to take weed. And I'm like, well, I don't take weed, and I work, and I've got a bad back. I've got a fracture. But anyway, we won't get into that. And the lad texted me this morning saying, hiya, so-and-so, we'll name no names, so-and-so has not got any toilet paper, and he's wiped his ass with lined paper. I'm hoping over time it'll dissolve, but do you want me to raise this on Coho, which is our database? And I was like, what is he wiping his ass with paper for? Why are you telling me? And why are you raising it? Just tell him to pull it out and put it in the bin and go to the shop. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, fucking tenants.
Oh, yeah, they are fucking, ugh. Anyway, that's why Phil doesn't want to be a landlord anymore.
Don't blame him.
Yeah, it is hard work. So, that being said, your nightmare tenants, what's been the worst thing that's ever happened to you in regards to property, other than police?
Don't mind the police. In property, probably that weekend, to be fair, was a bad weekend, because I'd just taken on too much, too quickly, too naive. Well, I wasn't even naive, but I just didn't have the time to nail the processes. So in property, that was just by far the worst weekend. And then tenants were assholes. But I've also had, I've overcome quite a lot. Now nothing bothers me really. If I get a bad review, meh. If I get a tenant kicking off saying I'm shit, fine, whatever. I've had prisoners heckle me for 14 years and now it's going to bother me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I once had I was working with a portfolio landlord. Phil told me not to take this deal on, by the way. My first deal, he went, don't take it on. I went, I'm going to. He went, no. And I did. And that's where the drug addicts live. But I don't regret taking it on still. I think it's taught me a lot. But I've had that landlord offer me a lot of properties, try and take me to court. So he's threatened me for a year. That was really, it was scary at first, because he's like a portfolio millionaire landlord. And it was them two properties that were shitholes he wanted me to take on. And the deal was, I'll refurb them if I have a 3-month rent-free period. And then I didn't stack the deal properly because I was stupid and was just collecting keys and hundreds of keys. And then I stacked it for what I've got to do to what the rent's going to be in this area actually is going to be a ball ache. So I tried to give him, well, I did give him it back after 6 weeks. I went, really sorry, I've done a bit of the refurb. It's a shit deal. Please take it back in the rent-free periods, to which he did. And then he tried to take me to court to pay him 18 grand for the refurb he had to do on his own properties. I went, are you taking the fucking piss? So he tried it on with his solicitor for a good couple of months. Bear in mind, I've known him years and I've still got another one of his properties. And yeah, so I've had fucking everything really that you can think of. We had a fire the other night, sorted that out, just had loads of stuff. Not had a death yet, but I imagine one's coming.
Yeah, we've had one.
Have you? Oh, I've dealt with death as a carer anyway. It's not nice, is it?
No.
No. Yeah.
But I didn't have to deal with it, so it's fine. Phil did.
Oh, that's fine then. I'll just ring Phil if I have one. Like, hi Phil.
What do I do? I'm dead.
Oh no.
What would be the best thing that's happened then?
Oh, the best thing. I'd probably say paying my credit card off was a good one. So everyone who has followed me knows how dead honest and transparent I am. So I paid for property training on a credit card. I paid for my mentorship on a credit card, my PPN franchise on a credit card, my laptop on a credit card, and I racked up around, bear in mind, I'd never been in debt before. I'd never really had many credit cards. I'd never got over a grand on a credit card. And my dad told me not to get one when I was younger. And like, if you can't afford it, you ain't getting it, basically. Yeah. And I'd had some failed property training before where I didn't take the action, or I mentally wasn't ready, or I didn't believe it, or I wasn't ready at that time. And then this time was the final kick up the ass. So I put about 20 grand on a credit card in about a year. And my first year profits just paid it off. So my first thing was pay all my credit cards off, then get some savings, then have the choice to leave my job, sort of thing. So I think the day I finally paid the rest of my credit card off, I was like, fucking hell, it's worked.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to do it because I'm a grafter, but I was like, fucking hell, it's worked. I've paid this credit card. So I think that I've won awards and all sorts of stuff, but I think the feeling of actually paying that off and then being able to pay for a holiday and get my van and that sort of thing, I think that seeing that was the best thing in property, like what it can do for your life, which sounds dead cringe, doesn't it? But that's
Do you see yourself as a successful entrepreneur now?
No, I don't see myself as an entrepreneur. It's mental, isn't it? So I had like an identity crisis the other day. So I went for Turkish bath, which is nice if anyone can go to one. And they asked you what your profession was. And I looked at Chris and went, what's my profession? And he went, normally put manager because I'm a manager at work, yeah. Another like contract manager. And I put property, and I felt like a fraud. And I was like, I've had a business for 2 years and I still don't feel like an entrepreneur, a business owner, property investor. I just feel like it's so bizarre. So no, I don't feel like a successful entrepreneur. I've got a lot of work to do on, like, not even imposter syndrome, because I don't give myself time to fester and go and like reflect and fester and dwell on shit. I don't give my time to like dwell on anything. So I've not even had like imposter syndrome, but it's more to do with realizing when I leave my job.
Yeah.
That's your fucking job. Not, do you know what I mean? It's not even a side hustle. It's bizarre.
I felt really weird. I never thought I was successful in business at all. Like, I lost myself completely during COVID. And then obviously when I left work for about 6 months, I didn't even really do anything. I took on the HMOs and the management of that, and I still didn't see myself as in property.
Really?
It's only been like this year, the last like few months, I'm like, fucking hell, I'm an entrepreneur.
It pays the bills, doesn't it? If it pays the bills, you're an entrepreneur. But like, yeah, it's fucking weird, isn't it?
Yeah, like some people I see from back home, they're like, what are you doing now? How's work? I was like, well, I don't work. They're like, what? I was like, yeah, because I enjoy what I'm doing. It's not work.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm working because I'm actually doing something I enjoy.
Mm.
Yeah, but then
tricky,
it yeah. is hard because I'm like, right, I've got to be strict. This is making my money.
That's the thing, because it's like, because it pays the bills. Like I was going to say, like, as well, if anyone's in this position. So I replaced my income in 10 months.
Yeah.
Which is ace. But then it was about that time I took on them shitty houses and then I give them back. And then I took on a load more deals. And then I strengthened my business and expanded. So I've de-risked it massively. Phil will be proud. De-risked it massively. So I've got like rent to rents, profit shares, management only, HMOs, SAs, deal packaging. So I've got about 6 streams of income coming in.
Jesus Christ.
No, it's mental, isn't it? But I balance it well. And like, I've de-risked it massively. So if one goes to shit, I've got another one. I do coaching. If that goes to shit, then I've got HMOs. So I've always got an option or a backup plan or something like that. But for me, it's people have jumped ship too quickly, I think. So I could have left my job after 10 months. Then I didn't. And then I had a little bit of a, could have left my job in December. And then I had like a bit of a meltdown in January. I'd been ill for like 17 days. I was like proper ill over Christmas, had that freak chest infection. Mm. And I was like, I wanted to leave my job or have the choice to leave my job this year. And then one of my mates went, why don't you start saving then? And I've like a nest egg for like 5-6 months. I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. Like a dickhead. I never thought of that. So again, if you feel like a twat, reach out to people and see what their perception is, because you don't know everything and I don't profess to know everything. But she said, start saving, which I did. So I've got my savings. Again, my credit card's paid off. So if it goes to shit, I've got a buffer. Yeah. But then like the genius I am, booked a very expensive holiday for next year. So them savings are for that holiday. So it can't go wrong.
No.
Not going to go wrong. It's definitely not going to go wrong. But like I've seen people jump ship too quickly and fucking flounder and drown themselves. So yeah, I'm like, I will be successful. It's just that mindset of being a business owner. It's very odd.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really hard to plan ahead as well. When you're in your own business, you're like, right, I can't plan too far ahead.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I'll just wing it. I planned but winged it at the same time.
Yeah. See, I like to plan. Phil doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Phil's just sporadic, isn't he?
Yeah.
Keeps me on my toes. So we've got a bit of both. I think that's where we work quite well together, because I'm like, I'm the level-headed one. I'm like, Phil, no. Not today.
Not today. Behave.
So you said you spluttered quite a lot of money on property training.
Yeah.
Were those property trainings successful or were they look crock of shit?
No, it was good. So I again, my mates have spent 10, 20 grand on everything. So they've done every course under the fucking sun. And the love, of course, what I did, I was very strategic, and I am and always been very strategic. So my aim was, I want to be financially free in property before my youngest goes to school. So I give myself about, I think I had 3 years. No, she was one. So I give myself 4 years. She's born in September, annoyingly. Give myself 4 years to do it. And I did it in 10 months. So I was like, I booked it on a whim, the training, because my mate went to do a Touchstone training course, come back all excited. And I wasn't mates with her for very long. And she was like, she gets very excited about stuff. I'm going to be in property, going to be a millionaire. And I went, you're fucking not. I'm going to do it. So we was business together, took 3 weeks to decide on a name. She'd given up then. And I thought, well, I'm committed now. I'm fucking doing it. And then I watched a webinar that she'd done, watched a webinar and signed up to No Money Down with Progressive. Yeah. Signed up to No Money Down. The following week after that course, I went to Masopi. But at the same time, like a real massive knobhead, I signed up to the PPN franchise with only one property. I know, what a fucking, I'm surprised they let me, I didn't think they'd let me run it. I wouldn't have let me run it. So, but they did.
They let me.
I had no properties. I had one personal property and that was it. But because I'm really honest and transparent and that's sort of my USP. I was like, well, watch me get properties. And I did, so it works out. But yeah, I spent no money down, mastermind, and that was it.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of courses like raising finance and that sort of, but I did nothing else with no serviced accommodation. I've done no deal packaging, but I run serviced accommodation. I'm a deal packager. But then I started like JVing with people to learn it instead. So me, I did one course and one mastermind and made that work. I did one strategy. So I did rent to rent, but I did rent to HMOs. Then I did SA alongside that, did deal packaging, and I've strengthened it up. But I've seen people do fucking any old course, waste the money, and then go, oh, it's not work. So I'm working, I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
Sat your ass doing now. Where
people try to do too many strategies all at the same time, they need to learn one, implement it.
Yeah.
And then do some more. Because some people try and do deal packaging, rent to rent, HMO, serviced accommodation, bloody whatever else trading they want to call themselves, and then are moaning because it's not working or they're not getting any deals.
Well, the first 6 months I was running around like an asshole. So I was doing viewings on properties I didn't want to buy, because you've got to do viewings. I was trying to deal package stuff I didn't know how to deal package. And then I just wasn't experienced, or I wasn't knowledgeable, and I wasn't as focused. So I'd burnt myself out more in my first year doing fuck all than I did in my second year with an actual business. It was very odd. But yeah, for the first 6 months, I was running around like a dickhead. And then it was Phil who said, just fucking do rent to HMOs and get on with it. And then I got loads of properties. And like, you just got to stay in your lane and stay focused and just like, keep yourself going. But again, because I do coaching now with people and mentoring, massive difference between mentoring and coaching. Like, mentoring is more hand-holding, I've done this, I will tell you how to do it, whereas coaching is asking questions to get them to figure out the self. So there's a difference there. But people who I'm mentoring, they're like, oh, I've seen this house to buy. I'm like, you ain't fucking buying that. Just stick to your like your one strategy. So yeah, I liked my training. I advocate for my training. I'd do it all over again. I don't regret it. But I think people who have done too much and attended millions of training courses and not chosen that one path have really struggled. You've got to choose your strategy based upon your objective of why you've done it and your passion. So I picked rent to rent because I didn't have any money. I picked HMOs because I've lived in a HMO and I like helping tenants and I don't like guests. I prefer tenants over guests, which is odd because I run Airbnb. So if you're staying any of mine, my apologies. but I prefer a drug addict over a guest. Anyway, so yeah, can't remember where I was going with that.
Yeah.
Pick your strategy. So cash, I wanted cash flow, leave my job, cash flow, leave my job, HMOs, no money. Do you know what I mean? Whereas some people want to go into commercial conversion straight away with no experience. I think, okay, good luck, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I've seen so many people do that, and people that have scaled really, really quickly and then have just lost everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary.
Very scary. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
No, I've got all my eggs in different little baskets.
Yeah.
A couple little eggs in a basket here.
So you mentioned your coach/mentor.
Yeah.
Why have I not seen this advertised anywhere?
I don't advertise it. so I've run it through my property networking event. Mm-hmm. So I do a little slide and I go, if you want me to mentor you, let me know. So I run it through that event. And then the way I've got my sort of mentors or mentees or coaches is if I post something publicly and then people message me and go, oh, how did you get started? And then they've come onto the program.
Yeah.
So I've kind of organically gone, I'll support it. I don't support everyone that comes through. Depends if they're either motivated or that they really want to do it. And I kind of specialize in people like mothers with children seem to come to me a lot.
Yeah.
Mothers with children, because again, I have taken my kids to properties. I'm in their situation. I make them feel comfortable. I hope she don't mind me saying this. I'll name no names, but one of my like mentees was breastfeeding like a baby. And because I've been in that situation, I've gone, you know, if you're comfortable, feed your baby. I'm like, and I'll support you, or turn your camera off, or don't. And my style's very Northern, sweary, practical. I'll handhold you if you need me to, but I make you feel comfortable in that situation as well. Whereas, no offense to blokes, can't imagine a bloke next to a breastfeeding woman that I'm fucking talking numbers and shit. So yeah, I get quite a lot of clients like that. But again, once I've left my job, eventually I'll start advertising it properly and turn it into a proper business.
So, we know this, but nobody else does. So how do you know you're successful in business when you've got a troll?
Oh, yeah. So I did a little post the other day. So I said, finally, I've made it. I've got a troll. So I had a friend. I thought he was a friend anyway. And I really looked up to him, and he gave me a lot of advice that I've implemented, to be fair. So I was quite, and if I was having like a down day, I'd go out with them and just be friends with them and just say, look, I'm having a shit day, can you help me, and vice versa, and that sort of thing. And then I've heard on the grapevine, they've started like slagging me off and poaching my clients and just basically ripping me to shreds with some stuff. And I'm dead honest anyway. If you've got a question, fucking ask me. I'll tell you honestly. I'll show you my bank account. I'll show you my deals. I'll show you literally everything. I'll be very transparent and that sort of thing. So yeah, I've heard from a few people that have been like, just being an asshole behind my back. And I was like, weirdly quite flattered. So I was like, oh. And realize I made this impact. So yeah, I haven't publicly had a troll until like this week. And I was like, oh.
Why do you think this person's trolling you then?
Oh, I don't know, especially when I thought there was actually friends. So, I don't even want to sound big-headed. I don't know if it's jealousy, you know, because of the stuff they've said, I think they probably thought I've grown too quickly and I've kind of surpassed them, I think, without sounding brutal. I've kind of surpassed their journey. Yeah. And I don't think they like that. That's all I can attribute it to, really, because I'm very... I say what I think, don't hide it. You know that. Everyone knows that. If they follow me, I say what I think, I don't hide it. So that's all I can think. There was a time where I called them out on something, probably didn't like that either.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I called them out. Maybe a little bit of jealousy. I don't know. I've surpassed their journey a little bit. And I'm transparent with it. I don't bullshit. So don't know. That's all I can think.
It's got to be, because most people only do shit like that when they're jealous of somebody, don't they?
Well, it was interesting because, so none of you will know this because you didn't know me prior to property, but I was a miserable bastard, proper obese. I was miserable, depressed, fucking surprised I had any mates, to be honest with you. I don't know I had any mates. I was an asshole, miserable bastard. And I've genuinely grown, my mates can't believe it now because they're like, hey, positive, look at you as a coach. And I've grown so much. Positively, mentally, emotionally, very positive. And now I look at solutions rather than problems. It used to be problems, problems, problems. Now it's like, even my husband's like, if I talk to him, he's like, hey, who do you think you are? Do you think you're my coach? And I'm like, no, I've just got a better vocabulary to explain my feelings a little bit better because yeah. I've done a load of, again, cringy, woo-woo stuff. I've done a lot of listening to podcasts, self-development, working on my fucking boring little mindset, because if you don't, you ain't going to get anywhere. You've got to look at your weaknesses and work on them every day, constantly and consistently. So I was quite positive and that sort of thing. So if when that person said to me, oh, they've been an arsehole behind your back, my first thought was flattery. Wow. And my second thought was, I'm not even going to waste my time on this because I'm in my own lane. I've got an outcome I want to achieve. I've got a lifestyle I want to achieve. And actually that will just distract me from it.
Yeah.
It'll get in my way. It'll distract me from it and it'll piss me off. And I don't want to waste my time on it. And then I thought, God, me 5 years ago would have just like been really wound up by that and just been like really, really wound up, overwhelmed and anxious over it. And called them out and looked at myself and go, what have I done wrong? And now I've progressed that much emotionally and professionally that I can't be asked to give it a second thought. So that for me, I know I've come on leaps and bounds with that.
So what do you think's been the game changer with your mindset? So you said you listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
What type of podcasts?
Oh, so I've got a favourite one at the minute. Don't know if you've heard of it. Daniel Hill's Blueprint one.
I think I've seen it.
Brilliant. Shout out to him. He don't know I exist, but shout out to him because I love that podcast. Really, really good. But for a while, so first of all, when I started out, I was listening to property podcasts and fucking interest rates and boring shit like that. And then I started listening to like Michael Mosley's 15-minute things every day. So what can you do? 15 minutes every day. One's eat an apple. So that's on my habits because that's got vitamins in. Meditation, I still can't get on with that. Can't keep my brain quiet. balancing, exercise, little habits. The Happy Habit podcast is really good. So I, again, started working on my weaknesses. My weakness was anxiety, overwhelm, mental health, mindset. Can I do this? And I didn't want to let it fester and go, I can't do this. I thought, I can do it. You're going to fucking do it. How are you going to do it? So I listened to podcasts based upon mental health development and well-being. Anything to do with well-being, I'm all over it. Because if you prioritize that, everything else will be fine. If you have a challenging business, you lose money. Got a bad review the other day. The guests didn't want to stay in the Airbnb because of the area. First of all, if you're going to book somewhere, fucking look where you're booking.
Yep.
Yes. Second of all, full of mold apparently. No, the paint flaked off the wall. That were it. And there's a little bit of damage to the skirting board that we haven't fixed because it's like a little bit, you can't even really notice it. But they didn't want to stay in the property anyway. And we lost 200 and odd quid for one night booking. That would have bothered me. Because it's money. But now I've just gone, do you know what? It's Saturday. My mates are around. My kids are here. I want to have a nice Saturday. And in 10 years' time, I'll remember this Saturday that my mates were around. I don't want to remember it that this guest pissed me off.
Yeah.
So I've worked on a lot of stuff to do with that mindset, podcasts, journal. I did journaling for a bit. Can't be asked for that now. But I did journaling.
I did it for about 9 months and I did really get into it, and then I got another journal for Christmas, and for some reason I haven't been doing it, but I've noticed I'm not sleeping very well again, so I'm going to start journaling.
I like a pretty bit of stationery, you know. If I get myself in like a stationery shop, I'm like all over it. Can't be happy with it though. So yeah, for me, work on your weaknesses, and mine was my attitude to life, really. So
you don't have a shit attitude towards life anymore.
Miserable bastard, but it's a positive miserable bastard.
What would you say is your pet peeve about property and business?
Anyone listening to this will go, leverage. Leverage processes. I've got an employee. Everything's automated. Yes, I could completely remove myself out of it. Of course I could. But I feel, and I've been a senior manager for a long time now, you have to keep your ear to the ground to improve.
Yeah.
You have to. So I haven't done spot checks on the properties, but this week I've been cleaning them myself, and it's been eye-opening to, one, how hard the cleaners actually work. Two, linens are a bastard to iron. I've actually got a blister. a blister. Like, blisters on my, I don't even iron my own. Iron. Yeah, like, I've got a burn. So this week's been an eye-opener of stuff like cling films run out. You know, there's a stomach on the carpet and that. So for me, right, first of all, you have to keep your eye and your feet on the ground to make yourself improve. I think, if anyone at work listens to this and think I'm a shit manager, let me know, but I think I'm a good manager, and it's because I keep my ears to the ground regularly. And I think you've got to do that in business as well. But my pet peeves are people. I don't like people. But just stupidity. So like yesterday, we had frantic phone calls off a guest checking in because they didn't know the Wi-Fi information. It's on your check-in information. It's also on the internet. You don't need to ring and text me. Just fucking have a look at it and use your common sense. When I book somewhere on an Airbnb, I'm not a complete idiot and I look at stuff. One of them messaged me the other day, can't find the bread knife. It's in the fucking drawer. Just open the drawer. It's not hard, is it? Do you know what I mean?
I can't can't find the fucking bread knife.
Like, bread knife. You're ringing me on a Saturday because you can't find a bread knife. It's like, oh, get a grip of yourself.
Fucking what? Hell.
You really get a bad review, don't you?
Like, you're in an Airbnb.
Yeah.
Like,
just...
Well, go to town and buy a fucking bread knife.
Yeah, but there was one. It was in the bloody drawer. Fucking open the drawer. And then I've had a 6-star review off booking.com because it's out of 10 because my stairs were too steep. And I'm like, are you fucking for real? And it's like your business is based on people's shit opinions of stuff. Like, I stayed in an Airbnb. It could have done with the paint, but it was clean, safe, cheap.
Yeah.
I've also stayed in a hellhole in Blackpool. I don't know how I survived the night. I don't know. But it cost me £58 for 4 of us. So I ain't going to moan.
Fucking hell, that's cheap, isn't
it? Fucking was. There's a reason it was cheap. It was disgusting. But it served its purpose in the location, and it was going to a dance competition. So it served its purpose for what I wanted it for. It wasn't like a nice holiday or anything. I'd have booked somewhere else. But like, yeah, other pet peeves. That tenant who keeps ringing me to find, like, he wants to know the date, the time he can move in. But we've got a tenant literally moving out that day and him moving in that day. And I was like, I can't tell you when that tenant's moving out because she's relocating to a different city. I don't know. When she fucking lets me know, I'll let you know. 27 calls he keeps messaging me. So little things like my pet peeves are just distractions on things that shouldn't be there because I've put in a process. I love a process, can you tell? A process or a procedure or something to follow to get to eliminate annoying things, but yet annoying things still annoy me.
I think whether you're in property or not, people's stupidity is ridiculous. Yeah. Like the common sense.
Yeah, can't teach common sense, mush could.
No, you can't. We've had like stupid stuff, like...
Oh, yeah, the amount of light bulbs we've had to change or offer to change because people are fucking idiots.
Yeah, and they can't tidy up after themselves in the kitchen or somebody hasn't put something away. I'm like, fucking hell, it's not the end of the world. It's a fucking plate.
Just a fucking
cupboard.
Yeah, we this was quite serious, to be fair, but we had a fire in a HMO the other night. Thank fuck, I love a bit of fire compliance. But tenant, pissed up, drunk knobhead. That's the demographic of him. Clearly forgot he had something in the oven, smoke all over the kitchen. Luckily, normal tenant was in. Normal tenant rang the fire brigade because the other one didn't. And then he texted me going, so we did a great heroic job. I'm very happy with him. You know, I've thanked him and said, you know, fucking well done, you was there, because the whole street would probably blown up. But he then kept texting me going, the fire alarm won't turn off. I went, it's the smoke alarm. And of course it won't. There's fucking smoke in the house. When the smoke goes, it'll turn off. Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe open a door or a window.
Yeah, fucking hell. So, yeah, just things like that where I think. And then we've started, so we've turned it into a niche. We now specialise in housing younger people, people on benefits, people who are moving out of supported living. We've now started specialising in extra support, and we've honed the welcome pack on, oh, my light bulb's not working. What is it? You need to change the light bulb. Oh, do you know what I mean? So, like, we've turned it into a niche now. So the stuff that annoys me, I've, again, looked at it positively.
Yeah, I suppose you can make, like, a little pack for every tenant that moves into a HMO. Like, the electric's gone. Check the fucking fuses.
Yeah. Yeah.
The back door won't open. Check the fucking lock.
Yeah, I've had all sorts of shit. I've had, like, just the amount of shit. Stupid shit I have to deal with. It's baffling, but it deters me away from actual deals. That's what that's what I'm working on currently, where I'll try and outsource the stupid stuff and focus on bringing in the income.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's a lot of what happens with us, because we've got so many tenants. Like, well, some houses you don't even hear from.
Yeah,
and they're perfect, and some of them have been there for like 3 years. It's perfect. Other ones, fucking hell, like, give me a break.
Yeah. I think people as well only think I specialise in naughtier tenants because they're the only ones I speak to. And like, I went, oh no, I actually house overseas. So again, we specialise in housing overseas nurses from the Philippines. We've got carers from Nigeria and stuff. So we house, again, overseas clients, but you don't hear from them because they're like normal, decent people. But yeah. Again, we specialize in that because like we do them a little bed pack as well. So we charge for a bed pack. So like they'll come in on a night flight.
Yeah.
Early in the morning or late at night or whatever. And I say, if you give me like 41 quid, I can get my duvet pillows bed in and I'll set it all up for them. So again, it's that level of care that we do.
Yeah. Because when we had just nurses, like never heard from them.
No, they're all right.
Ever. And now, obviously, most of them have left and we've got other tenants. Yeah. Like that house is a fucking nightmare.
Just tenants in general are a nightmare.
Oh, fucking hell. Just clean the bathroom after yourself. I don't give a shit.
Well, I thought SA would be better. Like people always go, oh, do you like SA or HMO? And I actually still prefer HMOs, shockingly. Because like with guests as well, it's more of an urgent response. Like last night, ringing us up at fucking whatever o'clock at night because they couldn't fire the Wi-Fi. And like, oh, we needed the futon making up. And I went, yeah, lay the back down. And the duvet with the duvet cover on is in the cupboard. Just open the cupboard. Like, fucking just go and have a look. Open your face. Open your eyes. Like, fucking just shit like that. And we had like a call at midnight once. So we have contractors coming in late. So again, what we've worked on is companies booking accommodation for their contractors, but yeah. Not fucking passing them the information. So the amount of messages we've had, like, what's the number of the house? And I'm like, oh, my fucking God. Just shut stuff yeah. like that, quarter to midnight, we're having calls. And I'm like, I don't entertain it from tenants because they know our business hours and they know what an emergency is. Fire, call, ring the fire brigade, let me know. You know, yeah. Locked myself out my bedroom. We have a protocol for that so I don't have to go and fucking tuck them into bed, that sort of stuff. So, yeah, SA tenant clients, yes, nightmare.
Yeah, and I'm just about to go into it. Woo!
Good luck.
Well, these should be easy because it's people that have got disabilities, so it'll all be set up, everything will be done.
That's nice though, because you can. It's nicer to do stuff for people as well in that sort of niche demographic. Whereas again, I'm not saying they'll be more grateful, but because there's very limited options out there.
Yeah,
you know, and I've seen you put in so much fucking work and the level of detail you guys are doing. I don't think you'll have any issues anyway. But again, normal guests who want, I don't know, a one night piss up in Hull to yeah. people who are wanting a 4 grand holiday, the level of effort is different. Like we've had bookings on the same night, so we're dealing with idiots. Do you know what I mean? Whereas the demographic you're going into, so much care and attention and
yeah. And I think because it is a niche market as well, like I can pretty much get everything done and all the protocols and systems in place, like to deal with all of that first, so I won't hopefully won't have to deal with bullshit.
Well, we had a guest who should have booked your place. She just had a hip operation, very difficult mobility issues, decided to book our property on a steep hill in Lincoln. It's one of the steepest hills in Lincoln. We're at the top. Decided to book that. Didn't pay attention to the fact it's a terrace house. The pictures show the bathrooms downstairs. And she said, the stairs are too steep. I've just had a hip operation. I went, well, fucking sorry I didn't ring you first. And said, do you want to come and have a holiday at my house after your hip operation? It's your responsibility to book what's suitable for your needs. But I got a shit review. And I'm like, what the fuck? So like people booking your accommodation are looking for something,
yeah,
certain criteria, aren't they? Whereas the one who booked mine, I was like,
yeah, but surely if you know you're having a hip operation, why would you book somewhere for a start that's got stairs?
Yeah, stairs.
Maybe stay in a hotel. Which is like ground floor with a lift or something.
She was pissed off that the bathroom was downstairs, but yet made out she slept in the living room, which is downstairs, because she couldn't get up the stairs. It was a good fucking job the bathroom went upstairs though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Fucking hell. Knob.
I know. So yeah, but good luck with your venture. But I think the care and attention you're putting into it and this specialism you're doing is different to me catering for anybody.
Yeah, but you cater for a lot of other people that need a lot of help in your HMOs, don't you? So
yeah, but again, I put in the care this side of things with the support and handholding bits.
What's your inspiration?
Ooh, Netflix.
Doing it.
So I've got a deep reason and then a not so deep reason. So the not so deep reason is I want the choice to spend my time how I want to spend my time. Happens to be that I've got two young kids and I don't want them to constantly see me in meetings. When I pick one up from school, I'm then in meetings straight away. And she's like, mummy, mummy, mummy. And I'm like, I've just got to deal with fucking the government. So I'll speak to you in a bit. Or I've got a house of paedophile. I'll speak to you in a bit. That sort of thing. Yeah. So it's giving the choice and freedom how I want to spend my time.
Yeah.
Most of it will be reading and watching Netflix and going to the gym and pissing about in the day and going to eat cake. I will do business around that, but that's the priority. And then I want to go full circle. So I have worked in homelessness in the ex-prisoner space for 14 years. And then I want to be the provider giving the house into vulnerable adults. Could be anything. I've worked with those with learning disabilities, elderly and ex-prisoners. And because I work for a charity and I've seen very limited housing support rights and stock out there, I want to be the person to deliver that. So if I can do that whilst watching Netflix and seeing my kids, happy days. So yeah, I do have a deep reason, but ultimately what motivates me is can't be doing with sat at a laptop all day every day. I'm in a position where I, in my role, should be able to directly influence the Ministry of Justice, commissioners and the government. Yeah, I've got quite a serious job considering I'm a bit of a twat, but it's actually quicker to achieve tangible outcomes in my business than it is to influence the government. So I've kind of gone, I've exhausted everything I can do with this position. I'll just go do it myself.
Yeah.
I'm stubborn like that. So.
But then if people aren't going to listen, you have to take it on yourself, don't you?
Yeah. Because like people have gone, so I'm financially free. Woo. But I don't own the houses. Financially free. Don't own the houses. But you've got to have a reason to get up and have a purpose, haven't you? So I think, yeah. And when I was with Alex Sepetowski yesterday, he said there's only so many beaches you can lay on and cake you can eat and that sort of thing before you have that pull again to do something. Yeah. And I said, yeah, I already know mine's never going to go away. So if I can just make a difference to a few people and I feel that personally, then yeah, that's the plan.
Oh, that's quite a good plan.
Yeah, it's quite cringy really, isn't it?
It's so nice when you're such a dick.
No, it's probably why I get business, because like I am an asshole, like a bit of a, I swear a bit of a dickhead, but because I have that purpose, people then go, oh, I see what she's doing now.
Yeah.
And you have to, when you've worked in this industry for 14 years, you've got to have a no nonsense attitude.
Yeah, god, otherwise you'd have a meltdown.
Yeah, I've had prison governors shout at me, I've had Ministry of Justice giving me shit, and I'm just like, meh,
whatever.
Yeah, sat in a meeting the other day with my UD on, like getting recorded. I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm still good at my job. I'm cold.
Yeah, fuck off. I used to do stuff like that in the office when I'd be like, right, and a little dress. Then I'd end up putting my pajamas on, take shoes off in the office, and the staff would come in. And I'm like, what? And then like, nothing. I'm just like, well, I'm doing my job. I'm comfortable.
Yeah. Is it
relatable?
Exactly, relatable. Is it acceptable to wear a nudie in public? They do in Hull. So if you ever come to Hull, everyone wears dressing gowns in public. But I always go, ooh. But a nudie is different, I think.
Is it? I don't know. I love my dressing gown, though.
Yeah. In Hull, genuinely, everyone walks around in the dressing gowns, like, in the streets.
Is that, like, mums taking their kids to school?
No, there's blokes do it as well.
What?
Yeah.
That is why we've never come up there, because you have weird people.
To be fair,
that's why I'm staying in Wales with the sheep.
Yeah, sheep dressing gown wearing sheep.
So what are you watching on Netflix at the moment then? Why are you so obsessed with Netflix?
Lazy. I'm deep down really lazy. We're watching, what's it called? Oh, fucking hell, I can't remember what it's called. Do you know, this is a little fun fact on me because no one knows, is it? I can't work the telly.
What do you mean you can't work the telly?
I'm an idiot. Can't work the telly. So, like, I can't record. I don't know how to tell it because it's like a smart TV. Like, Chris puts the telly on.
You don't press it on button, don't you?
No, it is. I can get onto Netflix now, but, like, because we have Prime and stuff. Like, I don't know any of it. Disney, I don't know how it works very well. So, I'm like, he's like, do you want to find something on the telly? I'm like, no. So, I'll just watch what he puts on. But we've got that, can't remember what it's called. It's where every episode's different. It's not Mindhunter, but like that. Everyone's raving on about Black Mirror. Fucking Mindhunter. Black Mirror.
Black Mirror. Don't know.
Don't ask me then. But Selling Sunset. I like a bit of Selling Sunset. Any property-related bimbo programme. Love that.
Anything. My DIY SOS just makes me cry all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Love a bit of Nick Knowles.
I don't watch a lot of telly anymore. Again, when I started property, I used to be an avid Coronation Street fan. Never missed an episode. Had it on Omnibus. Used to watch 3 hours of it in a row. Started my business. I've never seen it since.
Do you know what? I haven't...
Devastated.
What was the... Emmerdale. I was a massive fan of Emmerdale as well.
Yeah, it's a big commitment, keeping up with that many episodes of Corrie a week, I tell you. It's all like a shock now. But that's how much I've changed. But I watch... I read my books now.
Mm. Do you prefer a proper book?
Yeah.
Or a Kindle?
I've tried Kindles. I like a proper book that you can bend the pages on. So I like a proper book.
I like a proper book.
I've got about 5 Kindle as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is that not confusing?
No. Considering I'm dyslexic, no. I've got, like, self-development ones. And then the ones I go to are... It's always a professional woman in her 30s who leaves the city, goes to live in Cornwall, and either opens a cake shop, a coffee shop, or a library. All of them. They've all got the same plot. They're all in Cornwall, and they all open one of them shops. So I don't know if, like, eventually I'll go and open one of them shops. I don't know.
Do you think, like, that's a good distraction for you because it's not business-related?
Yeah, but even when my mind wasn't full, I've always read, like, crap books like that. But I do like to turn my mind off. I go swimming on a Monday morning because I have Mondays off my job, my real job, I call it, which is funny. Monday mornings, I clear my brain swimming. I like to go for walks and listen to podcasts, reading. That makes a nice day for me. Like, I've got to do today, but I just think... can't motivate myself to get through all the boring bits.
Yeah, the boring stuff's horrible stuff.
Yeah, tedious.
Yeah, I don't really enjoy that. No. I've started reading Harry and Meghan's book.
Oh, I didn't know they had a book. I had Prince Harry's.
I think they've got two. I think there's two. But yeah, I've started reading that because my brain was so overloaded.
Yeah.
Like, stop reading property or business or whatever books. Read some shit. So I've started reading that just to switch my brain off before I go to bed.
I think you've got to have different priorities as well. Like, again, we'll name no names, but I've seen people go, oh, I've woke up at 2:30 in the morning to start my day. Oh, fuck off. Oh, just go to fucking bed. Oh, I'll get up and have an ice bath. Oh, good luck to you. I get up and have 8 coffees to function. So, and give my kids ice lollies for breakfast. Fucking leave me alone for 5 minutes. And it's like, to be successful, people, you have to burn out. And I'm like, it'd be nice to see a couple of people on Facebook having a bit of balance. Oh, I've come back from a holiday early so I can do some deals. Oh, go away. You're free.
Why? I don't like this whole, I'm part of 5 a.m. club. Well, fucking who for you? Because I'm not. I'm sleeping, so my brain is actually working properly.
Yeah, I'm only in the 5 a.m. club out of pure aggression from my 3-year-old getting me up in the morning. She aggressively knocks at my door to wake me up, which is really annoying. But that's the only reason I'm in it. But I don't post I'm in it. I could post in the morning and go, look at me doing deals, but because my 3-year-old's throwing like Weetabix at me. But might do it tomorrow now. But I think you've got to have other things going on in your life. Like, I have investors genuinely ring me at 10 at night. I have I don't fucking answer. I have people on weekends go, I've got a free weekend, so I'm going to do some business. And I'm like, well, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm with my kids, or the kids are dancing, or we're at a competition, or, you know, I'm reading my book. And I've been really strict with my boundaries over the last year to choose how I want to spend my time. Because, like, again, and I'll leave you alone soon, but like Alex Sepetowski said to me yesterday, how do you want to spend your time when you get to financial freedom? And I went, I'm spending my time now how I want to spend my time already.
Yeah.
But it's taken me a year to find out how I want to spend my time. And actually, if I was a billionaire or a millionaire, I'd still read my shit books about Cornwall. I'd still watch the telly. I'd still, if I had a swimming pool in my garden, that'd be pure joy, but it's not big enough. But I'd still go swimming at that shitty swimming baths on a Monday. And I'd still go to the £20 gym I go to because it's a good gym and I like the people there. So actually, I've still got my van. So my life actually won't change too much apart from the fact that I won't have a job.
No. And I think that's what I think people need to forget. Like, there's so much going on in the world that you've got to spend your time how you want to spend it. Like,
yeah,
I spend all my time with Vinny and Phil. Like, that's my life.
Paddleboard. That's good.
And the dogs and the chickens and the gerbils and everything else going on. But that's how I want to be. And I always had to remind myself of, Leanne, you're not working so that you can be with Vinny.
Yeah.
I used to moan that I had to work at the weekends because when I worked in care, I had to work weekends because it's a 24. I had to do like a 24-hour shift on a Saturday. So I'd go in at like 8:30 Saturday morning and finish at 9 the next day.
That's awful, that.
Yeah. But I didn't. I purposely did that sometimes because then I'd only have to work 2 24-hour shifts a week.
Yeah, that's true. Well, like with my kids, like they go the cost of dancing is a fortune that we pay for. It's unbelievable. It's like it's another house what we pay for. Like genuinely, it could be a mortgage. But it's the summer holidays coming up, and what the eldest one's in 2 drama workshops. That's a couple of hundred quid. Like each workshop, and I've just paid it and I've gone because now I can.
Yeah.
Got that money to go. Of course you can. So she's going to a workshop. We're going on holiday for 2 weeks. Then she's going to another workshop. And it's like before I'd have been like, oh, I ain't got the money to do that. So again, it's properties giving me the time, freedom, and money to go. Of course you can do that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And that's nice when you can do that as well, isn't it? It's
yeah.
Especially, I think, because when I was growing up as well, there wasn't money here, there and everywhere.
Mm.
Yes, I did ride horses and that's an expensive thing to do, but it was my mum's hobby as well.
Yeah.
But like loads of my friends had loads of tech and whatever they wanted. Now, it's nice for me to be able to go, yeah, of course you can, Vinny.
Like, yeah.
And I know he never gets told no, which is probably a bad thing.
Oh, I might get told no every day, to be fair, because stupid.
Well, he gets told no around like sweets and chocolate and stuff. Like, no, I think you've eaten enough fucking sweets today, Vinny. Like, you'll be
child.
I everybody probably tell me I was a shitty mum because I let him eat crisps and chocolate and sweets. But
no, I think it's good. Look, we could do a whole episode on nutrition, really. But I think if you've got stuff accessible to you, then you make informed choices. Like, I know about nutrition because I used to be obese. I've lost 5 stone. Like, I teach them about what a carb is, what protein is, what fiber is, and that sort of thing. And without going into it too much, I probably shouldn't have even mentioned this, we've all got fucking dodgy stomachs, bowel issues and stuff, and I've had to teach them about fiber to make good choices.
Yeah.
To look at, like, mine gets to pick her own stuff for dinner at school. She's 7. She picks vegetables because she knows she should eat them. And then she can have a bit of shit, which is fine. So yeah, we've got a sweet stand that's out all the time. They'll help themselves with sweets, but they know when to stop, which I never used to have that.
No. And I think, yeah, Vinny will eat veg and fruit, but he'll also eat shit. But I think he knows. It'll say to me, Mummy, that's not healthy. Or it'll go, why are you eating salad? You want a diet?
I love salad, mate. I eat salad, but I love salad, proper love salad. But like yesterday, I had 3 cakes. Today, I went swimming. So balance.
We all love a bit of balance. We played tennis this morning. So that means I get to eat some shit now.
Nice. Oh, tennis. Shit at tennis.
Yeah. I make him play. He likes it now, though. Now, because I made him watch Wimbledon, because I love Wimbledon. He now understands the rules and how to play. He was like, should we play tennis tomorrow? I was like, if you want. And he was like, right, we're doing it properly. I was like, well, you need to learn how to serve then, don't you? Because he can't serve.
Is this Phil or Vinny now?
Phil. But he can't serve.
Can he? Amazing. Take a video.
He tried today and he can't do it.
Anyone watching that, I've just spilled tea all down my white top.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Is it like a proper brew as well? So it's like red?
No, it's Earl Grey, mate.
Ooh.
I know everyone's gonna not want to do business with me now. I'll be like, oh, she drinks Earl Grey.
You're drinking Earl Grey. I thought you had like a Yorkshire tea.
No, I don't like Yorkshire. I'm from Lincolnshire. I'm not into Yorkshire tea.
I don't like Yorkshire tea either. I think it tastes like shit.
It does. It's minging.
I don't know why people drink it, if I'm honest.
Tetley and Earl Grey.
I quite like a Tetley, actually. Makes me feel like a child again when I used to drink lots of Tetley tea when I was youngin.
Yeah, I used to have tea in my bottle. Terrible, isn't it?
Vinny used to have a cup of tea as well, but I had to buy him decaf because he was drinking so much. I was like, right, you're going to be off your head. So I had to buy him decaf.
That explains a lot about me in my life. I didn't have decaf.
We tried to do that whole coffee thing, didn't we, of not having caffeine.
Can't do that. Why do people do that?
Didn't work.
Caffeine and sugar. If I didn't have it, I just wouldn't be worth living. And cheese.
Oh, no. Oh, cheese. It's like my heaven. My fridge is just full. I've got one whole shelf of just cheese.
Have you?
Yeah.
I'm coming round. I'll be there in 5 hours.
Yeah, okay. I'll get the cheese platter out and get into
the shop, to be fair, a lot quicker, but...
What's your favourite cheese?
Ooh, depends what mood I'm in. I have halloumi is obviously a good one. Feta, I have feta a lot. I used to have Red Leicester all the time, but I've weaned myself off it.
Okay.
Them Christmas cheeses, if anyone, again, this looks weird what I'm doing. The little soft feta ones at yep. Christmas with the herbs on.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah, I love a bit of cheese.
I love cheese. Anyway, yeah, right tangent, haven't we? Property yeah. to cheese to drug addicts.
Yeah. What's next? We are for tea tonight. I don't know either. So what do you think's coming next for you then?
Ooh.
What are your plans?
I say this, but I know it's a lie. I might get sacked. I'm going to leave my job. I want to leave my job. So that's next. And then I've got to take on some properties in SA management. So I'm expanding the SA management side of things. So I want to get them over the line. I'm negotiating on some big deals, which... without sounding negative, if I pull this off, I'll just retire straight away. So one of them's like a £2 million block of flats that actually I've got bridging on and finance raised. So if I pull that off, fucking happy days. So the plan is to leave the job, get the SA management expanded. If I pull these deals out my ass, you know, I'll be, you know, made for life pretty much. So I won't need to do anything else. But I think from... the time I leave my job, I'm going to have a couple of months just figuring it out. And I'm going to give myself that time publicly to go, I'm figuring this out. This is very scary. And I know that day one, I won't relax. I know I'll carry on doing business as I'm doing business. And then eventually I'll get myself into a nice routine that I want to be in. So I think I need a bit of three or four months to just settle in like a new job.
Find your way. It is weird when you leave the day job, when you haven't got that routine.
I know I'll immediately have a routine because that's what I'm like. I'm like a little hermit, but I'll immediately have a routine. Whether it's the right routine for me, I don't think it will be. I think I'll put myself a routine that I think I should have, but I won't want it. And I'm going to practice flexibility and actually having full days off and that sort of thing. So I want to expand the SA. I don't know if I want to, but I am expanding the SA management side because there ain't a lot of SA managers around here at all. So I've kind of accidentally gone into it because there's a demand there across the south and north bank of the bridge. SA management and then coaching. Actually advertise that I'm a coach as well. I don't do that. And then eventually I want to go into specialising prisoner accommodation stuff because if I do it quickly, I've got that foot in and I've got that knowledge. If I leave it, yeah. I'm at risk of enjoying it too much and not going into it, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's about it. I always have a lot going on in the nutcase.
I don't know why. Why? Do you like thrive on being really busy?
If you asked one of my old school mates that have known me forever, apparently I've always been like this. So I've always had multiple jobs, multiple qualifications going on at the same time. So like, you think I come across a bit thick sometimes, but like I've got like a master's and like leadership credentials and management chartership status, and I've got like counselling qualifications, advice qualification. Yeah, I've got fucking loads of shit you'd never, project management, loads of stuff you'd never consider. So genuinely since school, I've either volunteered, been working from 15, had multiple jobs, multiple qualifications. I've been to Uganda and all sorts of stuff. I've never stopped. Ever.
What were you doing in Uganda?
I've volunteered on the slums with orphan children.
Fucking hell, Andy.
Just plucked that one out there. Well, yeah, I've been to Uganda and I've lived in a zoo and all sorts of weird shit. So yeah, I've never stopped. So when people go, are you ever going to have a break? Probably not. No.
Maybe weird. That's just who you are.
Yeah, but I used to do it as a miserable bastard, but now I'm more positive. So,
well, that's a good thing. Yeah, you don't want to go back to being a miserable bastard, though.
No. Some may say I've never left. Certain people quite miserable, but yeah, that's the sort of next steps really. I'm always doing something, and I'll always find stuff to do as well. I'm always a finding stuff person.
What's your limit then to stop you from doing it? How much money do you think you need to stop?
I don't think it's about money, you know. I think it's about that purpose and the drive. So like for me, the homeless thing, I think I always find a need for something and fill it. I don't think I've realised that till you asked me that question, but I always find like a need and go, oh, I can coach someone, there's a need there, or I can house those people, there's a need there, or homelessness, there's a need there. And I sort of see gaps strategically and I try and fill it for some reason. So like, I think you've always got to have something to get up for. And I think that's one of the reasons I haven't finished my house or my garden, is because if I got a perfect house, a perfect car, a perfect body, a perfect business, perfect kids, whatever, you've got to have something to aim for, I think. So I think once you've got nothing to aim for, life sort of stops.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I hope they don't listen to this. I've had people in my family, I think, just waiting to die. They've retired, they do fuck all. And if they listen to this, I apologise, but I've said it to your face. What you done today? Oh, I've washed the curtains. Oh, fucking hell. So, I've ironed my pants, that sort of level of stuff. So, yeah, I think I strive to do something that gets you up, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I don't think I could get to that point of going, what have you done today? Watched this morning? Did some washing?
But I am proper lazy. Like I've always said to people, my ambition is to leave my job and watch Netflix all day. And then people have gone, you won't even do that on the first day. And I'm like, no, I probably won't, to be fair.
No.
I won't.
Like, I think I'd want to be lazy.
Yeah.
More than I actually am. I can't just, like, now I could be sat downstairs on the sofa, but I won't be, because now what I'll do is I'll go and do some housework, or I'll go for a run, and all.
I definitely don't do housework. I'm not a housework person. Can't do housework.
I get distracted by housework.
Yeah. No, I have a cleaner. I can't do housework. That's why I'm baffled that I've had to iron this week. But as well with that sort of being lazy mentality, like I want to do it, I don't think I'd actually fulfill it, because I'd find something to do. Like if I've been dead ill, for example, I still can't stop and relax.
Yeah.
I still can't lay down. And it took me at Christmas to be wiped off my feet to the point where I couldn't move for 2 days. Like that level of ill, I couldn't move. Yeah. Like even when I was pregnant, I was very unwell during pregnancy. I had pneumonia, that sort of shit. I was still working until the day before Eliza come. I'm that type of knobhead that can't just recover
or
relax. It's very annoying. I'll work on that. That might be what's next.
Learn to relax. Buy yourself a hot tub.
Got one. Just not got any water in.
You just don't use it.
Moldy. Yeah.
But get your cleaner to clean it.
Oh, don't get me started on the hot tub. It's because it needs to be, you can't see my garden. It needs to be here, not over there.
Right.
And then I need that bit of patio in. So that's the next refurb for us. Patio.
patio. No, we've always got, like, always me wanting something done in the garden. Feels like, oh, fuck, it's summer. I'm like, well.
Get some more chickens.
Oh, don't. He wants more chickens.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got two rabbits. No, I'm joking. I've got rid of them now.
Okay. Where'd you get rid of them?
I like a holiday. And my family won't feed them for me twice a day and keep up with the rabbit standards. So it's better that the rabbits go to a home where the owners don't constantly go away.
Yeah. I know.
My family will take me on Jeremy Kyle about the rabbits. He should come back, by the way. I stand for this. Yes. He should. Yeah. So I'm getting rid of him. So they've got, I can go on holiday, which sounds fucking awful, doesn't it?
Well, no, not really, because we've started, putting the dogs in kennels, really lovely kennels, only little tiny ones, very expensive, but because we like to go away and we like to do random things. But luckily now, one of our neighbors, if we just want to do a quick night away, they'll have the dogs for us.
Oh, that's good.
So yeah, and he has them out playing with his dog and stuff, so yeah,
that's very good.
Only taken us 5 years to start actually going away because of the fucking dogs.
Well, if you ever want to come to Hull, let me know.
Do you know what? I've never ever been.
It's shit. I'm not gonna lie to you. When people, you know, when you say on Facebook, oh, come and invest in blah blah land because of X, Y, and Z. And it's just like people genuinely invest in Hull for multiple reasons and benefits, as do I, but I wouldn't ever come unless you needed to. Do you know what I mean?
You're making it sound like I really want to come and visit.
I don't live in Hull, so come to my house. I don't actually live in Hull, but yeah, Hull on its own is a bit like meh.
Now, as long as you live outside of Hull, then that's fine.
I live in Lincolnshire, you see, different county as well.
How close is Lincolnshire and Hull?
Like 15 minutes. Have you been near the Humber Bridge?
No.
Right, anyone who's heard of the Humber Bridge, Hull is on one side of the bridge is 1.8 miles long. Fun fact, it's massive. Hull's on one side, Lincolnshire's on the other side.
Right, okay, I'll get you now. Because I'm shit with geography and I'm like, oh, Lincolnshire, where the fuck are they? Yeah. But now I know.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like next, it's like a river apart.
Oh. So it's like a completely different area then.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. I just won't go over the bridge. Or have I got to go over the bridge to get to you?
It's where you come.
Yeah.
Have to.
So what would be your top tips for investing in property?
Oh, this is controversial. I think you should nail the well-being before you do anything, even if it's not property related. Nail your well-being and your balance first, which is really difficult. Anyone that's starting out new, because I like to support the newbies, commit to a certain time per week of whatever strategy you're doing, whether it's 10 hours a week, 5 hours a week, 100 hours a week, whatever. Consistently stick to them hours and fit it around your lifestyle. You can be very, you know, you don't realize quite how much time you waste until you look at your phone and you look on your settings and you think, fucking hell, I've been on Facebook for 5 hours.
I know, I've started checking that.
Yeah, I've got, one of my habits is to not be on for more than an hour a day, but that means across all sites and all my business posts are included in that, so I don't piss about wasting time on it.
Yeah.
Top tips are nail your well-being first and your balance and your desires and your outcomes, and then commit to a certain time. And I'm not saying get a mentor, but surround yourself with property people. I run a networking event and I'm accountable for running it. So I am surrounded by property people. I used to go to Progressive a lot. I haven't been for a year to surround myself with property people. I've got mates that are property investors. I meet them for breakfast sometimes. I'm meeting one for a coffee in a bit to look at some deals together. If you're going in property, get some property mates, because you're going to have shit days, good days, support, challenges and that sort of thing. I've got a property investor mate that's actually cleaning some properties for me this week because I'm at work and they're doing me a favor and I'm paying them. So like, if I was an asshole, no one would want to help me out and vice versa. So get some mates in property and then you'll figure out your investment journey, whatever that looks like.
Good plan.
Yeah, that boy with interest rates, and get yourself a power team, because that'll all come. Do you know what I mean? It'll all come, and get your gold mine area. Meh. Stupid.
We moved to bloody Wales. What fucking, whose fucking idea was that?
Mental. Live in the back end of nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Always, you've got to live within half an hour of where you're investing.
Yeah. Does help, to be fair, but you don't have to.
But no.
So I might invest in Dubai, to be fair, then. That's an excuse, isn't it?
That is a good excuse. And you can fiddle your taxes out there as well, can't you?
Exactly.
That's my goal. I'm going to move to Dubai.
That's exactly. Not my goal. No, I'm not.
I don't think I'd ever want to move to Dubai, to be honest.
Too hot for me.
Well, I don't know. I'd like it.
Too hot. It's too hot for me now.
It's not even hot. Exactly. It's too hot unless it's minus 10.
No, I get cold as well. I'm one of them annoying people. That's either too hot or too cold.
I'm normally too cold.
Get a nudie, mate.
No. No. Otherwise, I'd end up wearing it out and on the school run.
Oh, yeah, no, that is lethal. I'm going to wear mine later. I'm going to go for coffee in my UD.
Oh, God. Right. I think we're done.
Well, that was bloody lovely. Thank you for having me and letting me on ranting.
Thank you very much for coming on. And it was a lovely episode. I don't think we actually swore that much, to be fair.
Yeah, I think we did all right then. Quite positive.
Yeah. Right. Thank you very much for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Diligent Endeavors podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and share this with a friend, and remember to put yourself in danger of success.